Hi, this is Ernie Fazio, and this is Earnestly Speaking. We're on LI News Radio. I'm talking to E.J. McMahon, and the name of your unit again is?
The Empire Center for Public Policy, and you'll find us at www.empirecenter.org.
And do you take suggestions or comments from the public when they go into your website?
We have a public email address, and we read all of our emails daily. And you can, first of all, we have a blog, and via Facebook, you can comment on any blog post that you want to, and people do. And you can send us an email if you want to send us a direct message, and there's an email link on there that you can push.
Great. Okay. Now, there are some other issues. Let's go into that thing. You said that when we were talking before the break about when you get to age 65 and you're a policeman, it doesn't alleviate the cost of the to the taxpayer down here in Long Island, for example.
Right. Not completely, because what happens then is your premium cost does go down because your primary coverage becomes Medicare.
Right.
But you continue to receive health insurance coverage from the county or town, and that becomes what the Medicare wraparound. And those of us who are either old enough to have it or have friends and family who have Medicare know that the real gold standard is not having just Medicare, because Medicare isn't that great. If you had to defend solely on Medicare, there's a lot of things Medicare doesn't cover as well as private insurance. Well, a government employee's retiree health insurance covers the things that Medicare doesn't cover.
And that's considerably costly?
Well, it's less costly. I would say it's typically about a quarter as costly. It's much less costly than continuing to give them a full family plan, say, for somebody, for a guy who's, 52 years old. But it's still, when you multiply it across tens of thousands, or in the case of the state as a whole, hundreds of thousands of retirees, it still costs a lot. It's not cheap. Plus, most government employers, state and local in New York, they don't just continue to offer you coverage to supplement your Medicare, which, again, very few people in the private sector have supplemental coverage once they're 65.
Yeah, I know that. Now, I was thinking in terms of the bigger picture. Do you get involved with policy outside the state, or in other words, at the federal level?
We're mainly only insofar as it affects the state and local governments. We focus on state and local issues. So sometimes we may deal with issues that are common to multiple states, but we don't focus on federal issues.
I've been thinking about what our military costs now. I think the military costs that give veterans their just due and give them the kind of medical attention they need is not enough. On the other hand, we spend too much on things that we don't need. We're building weapons systems that was designed to fight the Soviet Union. As far as I know, they don't exist anymore. Why are we crazy?
You're outside my pay grade talking, as they say in the military, when you talk about stuff like that. That's a whole other. I'm so consumed with trying to figure out and make sure I understand the state and local issues that I'm not sure what to think of. You're raising, obviously, really important things. I'm not sure what I think about that.
I just read that the F-35 has cost $1 trillion yet, and it doesn't perform as well as the F-16. What the hell are we doing? Why are we spending money like this? Because they have us by the throat.
Well,
every congressman is in the thrall of these big contractors, and their contractors are smart enough to build a plane in 38 states. In other words, they build a wheel assembly in Kentucky, and they build a wing assembly in Long Island, and they build the electronics in California, and every congressman is afraid to lose those jobs.
And a trillion here and a trillion there. First thing you're talking about, real money.
Yeah, that's. I remember that was Dirksen, right?
You're right. You're one of the few people who knows the actual source of that.
Everett Dirksen.
It was Everett Dirksen.
Yeah, he had this wonderful, wonderful voice, and he was He was the master of pork.
He was, yes. There's surviving conversations on the internet of phone conversations, because, you know, LBJ tapped his own phone.
Yeah.
And all those conversations are online, and you can listen to him wheedling votes out of Everett Dirksen in exchange for promises of a dam here and a highway there and a military base in the other place.
You know, those things don't bother me. A dam here or a library or a courthouse there, that doesn't bother me, because high-paid workers build those things, and we use them forever. When you build a tank, you send it into the battlefield, and either the ISIS steals the goddamn thing, or it lies in the desert rusting. But it doesn't produce a dollar for you, and it doesn't produce a service for you. We need to do something that builds a service for us.
Well, you know, I can relate that to the state level in this way. We have gotten the equivalent of a huge inheritance, or a pretty nice inheritance, from an old aunt we didn't know we had in the last 2 years. We got settlements from banks, mainly banks from other countries, that were fined for violating state and federal laws. And their United States charters are in New York, so they've paid us billions of dollars. The state has gotten over $8 billion in settlement fines and penalties from these banks.
Well, we'll now find a way to squander that.
Well, like you said, we should be spending it on the types of projects you're talking about, on infrastructure that it not only employs people during the construction phase, but that produces lasting benefits, that makes life better for all of us and makes our economy run better. And too much of it is being squandered on really political pork barrel projects and in the general category of quote unquote economic development, which is another name for situations where politicians shovel money to politically connected developers for glitzy buildings and things that make them look good.
Glitzy buildings. I wonder who that reminds me of.
There you go.
President, what's his name? Trump?
I don't know.
Oh, boy.
Gold-plated, yes.
I just can't imagine him being president. But he might be.
Well, the last, being Albany-centric the way I am, he was last seen in Albany over a decade ago, 20 years ago, paying lobbyists to block legislation that would have allowed casinos in New York solely because he didn't want them competing with his casinos in New Jersey.
Well, the idea that they've imposed casinos on Long Island doesn't make me happy. I don't think that does anything.
Oh, no, I actually don't think much of them either. I just found it amusing. He started a group. He funded an organization that had the very highfalutin, noble name of the Center for Law and Society.
They're so clever with these names.
The Center for Law and Society, which basically was about issuing derisive propaganda, impugning the motives of Indians upstate who were opening casinos. It was totally self-interest. So it was,
I don't think the Indians should have casinos either. But you know what? If it's on their reservation, and that's the way they're going to bring their people out of poverty, I have to wink at it.
Well, that was kind of what was going on, I think. But it was. That's a bigger. That was not exceptional. That was a fairly typical Albany thing. That's the way it works here.
I know. I've been up in Albany, and I've seen the trollers that around the offices, and they're out there trying to figure a way to skin the taxpayer once more.
Yes.
Well, I appreciate there's somebody like you doing something about it, because, you know, it's not sustainable.
Well, I mean, if you'd like to learn, if anybody listening wants to learn more about more facts about the issues in New York, you can go to our website at empirecenter.org. And we also run the most extensive government transparency website of its kind that you'll find anywhere. And that's called seethroughny.net. SEETHROUGH, seethroughny.net.
Before you did you have something else to say?
Well, it's got all the government payrolls on it.
Okay. I want to invite
state, local,
you.
And pensions and other issues.
I want to invite you to speak at LIMBA. I host that organization. And what we do is we get a relatively small number of people in a room, maybe 40, 50. And we have you speak, and then we have you speak for 30 minutes, and then we have 15 minutes of Q&A, and you know, and a whole lot of networking. Would you be interested?
Sure. Let's see if we can work out a date.
Okay. When I go to, you know, when I get back to the office, I'll drop you a note and give you some dates, and you can tell me if it's doable.
Okay. All right.
This has been very informative, actually, for me. But it's been very informative for people who are not familiar with the problem. So this is Ernie Fazio. I've been talking to E.J. McMahon and his wonderful organization. I think you ought to get more familiar with it. And we're on LI News Radio. And I want to thank you all for listening. And thank you, E.J.
Thank you very much.